pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. There are a lot of Christian motivational speakers out there who talk a lot about living your best life and talk about being your best you, choosing to be your best self. And that kind of got me thinking, what would my best self look like? What kind of car would my best self drive? What kind of house would my best self live in? What kind of a job would my best self have? What would my best self's bank account look like? What would my best self's wife look like? What kind of yacht would my best... Too far? And then I got to thinking what my best self might look like in my wife's eyes. I came to the conclusion that my best self might look better dressed. Might be more muscular. Might be a better listener. Might not make so many jokes at my wife's expense. Turns out that boat, that super yacht, has sailed. At the moment, I am reading a deeply disturbing, difficult and controversial part of the New Testament that is known as the Sermon on the Mount. I know. I didn't plan it. It just happened. I forgot that it came after the Christmas accounts, and then it was too late. So I got to thinking about what my best self might look like to God. So I asked him what sort of super yacht my best self might have. And after a few minutes, I put down the brochures and things got serious. It turns out that God doesn't look on outward appearances. It turns out that he doesn't think that my life consists of the sum total of my possessions. It turns out that the things that people desire, that are highly valued amongst people, many of them are detestable in God's sight. And it turns out that he has some very interesting things to say about the love of money. I'll let you look them up in 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. So what does my best self look like? In context, all the things that he might give to me are things like food and clothes. But God is looking for the kind of follower who will put him first, instead of putting themselves first. And when you think about it, that's who you signed up to be. Because when you became a Christian, you used that difficult four-letter word, Lord. And you called Jesus your Lord. So he's looking for a people who are kingdom-minded, who, when it's a choice between me and God, will go with God. With what benefits me or what benefits the kingdom of God, will go with the kingdom of God. And in his grace, he promises that he will give me everything I need. Paul, in one of his more complaining moments, preachers are allowed to have complaining moments. You know that, don't you? Mine might be this morning. Paul complains this. He says, everybody looks to their own interests instead of those of Christ. And God is looking for a people who will be concerned about his interests. So then I have to ask, how do I do this? Well, God, what do I do? Where's my part in your kingdom? in my life today, in Monday morning, when everything is fresh and new and the week is ahead of you, and you like Monday mornings, don't you? Excellent. Lord, how do I seek first your kingdom this week? And then you listen. And you listen to what God might say to you. My best me volunteers. Psalm 103, 110, verse 3. Your troops will be willing in the day of battle. The verb here is nadev. To be willing means to volunteer. And I think of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, seeing the glory of God, seeing that all God intends to do, saying, here am I, send me. Our national conference this year had that as a theme. And we all were bearing badges saying, send me. And of course, me being perverse and difficult, everyone I met, I said to them, can you go and stand over there? And they'd say, why? And I'd say, because it says, send me. Yeah, I thought it was funny. Nobody agreed with me. Lord, I'll do it. I'll volunteer. If there's a gap in things that need to be done, here am I. God is all powerful. And God can make you do what he wants you to do. Or he can organize the circumstances in such a way that you end up with no choice. And just occasionally, he will do that. If you are unsure, talk to Jonah about it. He will explain the concept to you. But that's not God. That's not his personality, his God-inality. He's looking for people who are willing. He's looking for people that will say yes. And that will do what he calls them to do. He's looking for people who will be enthusiastic. Fortunately, the English got a free pass on that. We don't need to be enthusiastic. It's just every other nation. He's looking for a people who will volunteer, who will step forward and say, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll do it. Paul goes further. He talks about being zealous for God, because God likes to work in partnership. It's fundamental to the way that he's organized faith. He wants to work in partnership. He wants you to work with him more than he wants you to work for him. And there is a big difference between the two. This is very important for God. So my best me says yes. My best me says, God, I will. My best me is generous. Proverbs 22, verse 9. The generous will themselves be blessed. I'd like to say my best me is more generous. And because generosity should be a growing thing. But I have a problem here. I have a problem with some road signs. I mean, not like my wife. You know, she has a problem with the one with the red line around it and the 100 inside or the 80 inside. She doesn't seem to grasp the meaning of those signs. The sign I have a problem with is the one that says slow down. It's not. It's not the same thing. There is a huge difference between them. Because that sign is there whether I'm going at 40 kilometers an hour or whether, like some of us, I'm going at 120 kilometers an hour. Does it really want me to slow down when I'm doing 40? You see, it's a sign that lacks context. It requires me to give context to it. So most of the time, that sign is lying to me because it actually doesn't want me to slow down because I'm not going any faster than I should. Bad sign. I don't know how generous you are. Maybe you are an insanely generous person. Maybe you are the person that would give the shirt off your own back. Or maybe you're that person that's stingy. So when you come to a sign in the Bible that says something like, be generous, you've got to apply context to it. And you've got to do that honestly. You've actually got to figure out, am I generous? Am I generous enough? And I'm not just talking here about money. Because generosity is not just money. It's not just giving to those who are in need or giving to the kingdom of God. It's me being generous with who I am. It's me being generous with my time and generous with my abilities. It's me not being that kind of person that's so wrapped up in themselves that they don't see others. And I look at God and I recognize that God is a generous God. From him we receive one blessing after another. And we look at the world that we live in and we recognize a generous God. So if he is generous, I need to be generous. And if he is generous, it stands to reason that he likes generous people. And that means I have to think generous. And that means I have to do generous. If God gives to me in the measure that I give to others, I need to make sure that I give God something to work with. There are 20 points here, by the way. We are so far up to number 4, if you're keeping notes. We can do it. My best me sees other people. Because the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. And when I love my neighbor as myself, it's not like God gave this command and I've got to obey this command. It's when I love my neighbor as myself, I please God. And if you're going to love, you've got to see. I mean, not just see the person. You can all see other people. It's to see what's going on in their lives, to see their needs, to see their aspirations, to see who you need to be for them, who I need to be for them. To love my neighbor, I have to see my neighbor. And if all I see is myself, and if all I think about is myself, that's not someone God can use. That's not somebody who is useful in his kingdom. That's not my best me. That's a substandard me. And that means I might need to change. Do I see other people? Somebody once said, a person wrapped up in themselves makes a very small package. And I have to do this practically. Have you ever thought of practicing? Right, because at the end of the service we do coffee, right? And we do food and biscuits. And actually mostly non-chocolate biscuits this morning. We had a bit of a meltdown last night. It was a bit sad, really. Bit of a brain freeze when I was putting the biscuits out. Mostly non-chocolate. The chocolate ones that are there are double choc. Make sure you get there early. You get a chance to see somebody else. You get a chance to find out what's going on in their life. To find out what you can do. Because you can do. And the simplest you can do is to pray. My best me has perspective. Sees things from God's perspective. Sees what God wants to do and sees what God is doing. Acts chapter 2 talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it says that everyone prophesied, and prophecy is strongly associated with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And we think of prophecy as speaking. So when I prophesy, I speak out loud, I'm addressing something. But that's a little bit of a misunderstanding of what prophecy is all about. In the early days, the prophets were called seers. Because fundamentally, a prophet is someone who sees. Think about it. There are a number of Bible stories that tell us this. There's Elijah and there's Elisha. And Elijah tells Elisha that if he sees him go up into heaven, he will get a double blessing. And you think, well, that's crazy. Why would that make any difference to anything? The truth of the matter is, if it had been you or me walking that day with Elijah, we wouldn't have seen anything. One minute Elijah would have been there, the next minute he would have been gone, because that's what really happened. It takes a prophet to see into the spiritual, to see a chariot, to see Elisha going up to God in his chariot. It takes a prophet to see those things. Ordinary people don't see that stuff. So a prophet has to see what God is doing. That's why Elisha doesn't get the blessing unless he sees. Because if he doesn't see, he's not a prophet. That simple. You get the same thing with Dothan and all the armies that are surrounding the city. Prophets see. In Isaiah, God complains that no one sees, and because nobody sees what's happening, nobody does. So, as a result, God had to act for himself. And you get the idea very clearly from Isaiah that God is not happy with it. He is looking for a people who will see. Who will see where he is working and will get in behind it. So all of us will interact with, I don't know how many people this week. Every single person that you interact with this week, God is working in their life. Right? Because God's working in everybody's life. God is doing something in their life with the goal of drawing them to himself. And if you think in those terms, you will find witnessing a lot easier. Because you will recognize that God is already at work. You will see where he is at work, and you will work with him. So my best me sees beyond the natural, sees the spiritual, sees what God is doing. That was way too long a point. Number six, my best me values holiness, because without holiness no one sees God. Now holiness is something that only God can do in my life. All holiness ultimately comes from God, but holiness is also something I need to pursue. And that means recognizing sin, and that means taking action against temptation. And that means learning repentance. And that means being open to God and asking, Lord, where am I wrong? And how do I deal with that wrongness? My best me pursues holiness. Seven, my best me obeys God. Again, Jeremiah. All the way through the book, you've got this complaint. My people don't obey. I did all this stuff for my people, and they're not obeying me. And God gets upset by that. My best me is responsive to God. My best me is obedient. My best me listens to the word of God and does the word of God. Whether that's in the Bible or whether that's specific things that he's asked me to do. And that obedience pleases God. Disobedience doesn't please him quite so much. So my best me is an obedient me. My best me is faithful. Well done, good and faithful servant. So my best me is faithful to God. My best me is faithful to the callings that he's put in my life. My best me is faithful to his family, and occasionally his wife. My best me is faithful in the kingdom of God, and faithful in church. And that means I'm going to do my best. You might have noticed we're not a church that really concentrates on perfection. We're not that kind of church that feels that everything has to be completely perfect. There's a reason for that. It's so that we can let you guys in. Our musicians don't have to be perfect. They're allowed bad notes. Our pastors don't have to be perfect. They are allowed to pronounce Deuteronomy incorrectly. We don't have to be perfect. God's desire for us, his goal for us, is not that kind of perfection. I have to do my best. I have to do my best. I have to take what God's given me and do it to my absolute best. Zaria is into Amy Grant. Some of you are old enough to remember Amy Grant. Amy Grant was awesome. She was kind of like my generation's Lauren Daigle. And one of her songs, "All I Ever Have to Do Is What You Made Me." That's right. What God's put into my life, what he's putting into my life, I have to express out. So I'm going to do my absolute best for him. I'm going to do my absolute best in everything that he calls me to do. Because my best me is faithful. So wherever God requires faithfulness of me, I'm going to be faithful. Because Jesus was faithful, and Moses was faithful, and David was faithful. And I am going to do my best. And because faithfulness is part of my character, I'm going to let God build faithfulness. If God is faithful, I will be faithful too. And if sometimes God being faithful to an unfaithful people is difficult, then I'm prepared to do the same and be faithful even when it's difficult. 9. My best me does faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. That means my best me sees opportunities around me. Sees beyond what I can do and what I know and what I currently am. And my best me combines everything with faith. So when I'm praying, I'm going to pray with faith. And when I'm working for God, I'm going to do it in faith, believing that if I do what he's called me to do, and I do it to the best of my ability, he will take care of the rest. And when I give, I'm going to combine it with faith. And when I obey, I'm going to combine it with faith. Because that's how obedience works. So if I do something that costs me, I exercise faith, believing that God will provide where it costs. So I will do everything out of faith. And I will add faith to every situation. And I will think faith. And I will do faith. My best me, this is number 10, is compassionate and considerate. My best me wants to be kind, but kindness hasn't quite recovered from COVID yet. It turns out kindness still has COVID. Hopefully the word will get redeemed over the next 10 years and we will forget that kindness meant anything but being kind. So, compassion and consideration pleases God. And it builds others up. And it builds myself up. And kindness and compassion, there I said the word, it was accidentally, I misread my notes, builds community. And Ephesians says this, be kind and compassionate to each other. And you'll notice that several of these are fruits of the Spirit. And that's no accident. So what in me could be more compassionate? What areas of me could be different? Where am I judgmental? Where am I critical? Where am I selfish? And how then do I take those things and start to apply kindness? My best me forgives sometimes. is really important to God, because he tells us that if we don't forgive, he won't forgive us. And our forgiveness demonstrates that we understand his forgiveness. And we do this because it is best for us to forgive. So my best me gives hurts to God instead of holding them on myself. Well, my best me prays more. That word more, it's like that sign again, isn't it? Slow down. It is possible to actually pray too much. If all you do is pray, you are probably praying too much. And even if you're praying a little bit, but none of that prayer is actually finding its way into doing, then maybe you are praying wrong. My best me prays. And my best me prays, finds ways, new ways to pray. And my best me finds new things to pray for. And my best me finds new times to pray. Because the kind of society that we live in today opens up those opportunities for us. If you are waiting for your Uber to arrive, what do you do? I know nobody watches real television anymore, but when the adverts come on TV, adverts are a gift from God. You can either let the materialism soak into your life, or you can close your eyes and pray. Like I say, a gift from God. My best me sees prayer as an adventure. Sees it as a journey into God. Sees it as a way of connecting with God. And it turns out that God quite likes it when we talk to him. Turns out he likes it even more when we listen to him. So my best me prays. My best me learns more. Because Jesus said, go and make disciples. So I'm going to go and make disciples. And the first disciple I'm going to make is me. I'm going to learn. And I'm going to set out to grow. I'm not going to think that after 35 years of ministry, after 57 years of being a believer in Jesus Christ, that I know everything, or even very much. So I'm going to learn. And that's going to start with reading the Bible and growing in knowledge and growing in understanding. But it's also going to lead then to the kind of practical knowledge, the kind of skill in the way that I do things, as I take what I learn and I put it into practice, because I want to be useful in my Father's kingdom. So I'm going to grow and I'm going to mature. And as the King James says, I am going to study to shew myself faithful. 14. I'm going to live grace, because God is a God of grace. That means I'm going to accept other people's failures in the same way that Christ accepted mine. And I'm going to exercise grace in my own life, and I'm going to exercise grace in those around me. I am going to be that kind of person. 15. I am going to sacrifice, because my best me gives to God. And I'm going to sacrifice in whatever area I need to. I'm going to be that open person who puts his kingdom first. In fact, I'm going to be what Paul says, a living sacrifice. My best me worships God. My best me delights in worshiping God. God is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want that to be me. I hope JJ wasn't watching while I was on the sound this morning. I'm sure he wasn't watching. I'm sure he was too busy playing the drums, because on the soundboard you are not supposed to worship Because when you worship, you get carried away and you miss what you're supposed to be doing. So you're supposed to concentrate on the job. And there I am, with my hands in the air, singing so loudly that Cruz has got his finger in his ear. My best me is self-aware. I know who I am. I know that I'm a child of God. I know who God is, and I know what he's doing in me. I'm aware of my weaknesses, my inabilities, my failures, and my need for Jesus. But I'm also aware of his perfection in my life and his power in my life. So I live for the moment, and I do what God calls me to do in this moment. And I look for what God is doing and saying. I am self-aware. My best me trusts God in everything. When I don't understand, when I don't see the way ahead, when I don't like the way ahead, when my prayers don't get answered, when it's all too much, I trust God. I trust that he knows best, and I trust that he's working all things out for my good. So in everything, I trust. 19, my best me works. Makes the most of every opportunity around me. Keeps his hand on the plow. Does not grow weary in doing good. Presses on towards the prize. Because it turns out that laziness does not please God. 20, my best me is a witness for Jesus. Called to be a witness. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. Someone who shows who Jesus is in his words, his actions, and his attitudes. Tells others what God has done in my life and what he can do in theirs. Because my best me has an eye on the kingdom of God growing. 21. How many points did I say I had? My best me lies. My best me loves the Lord my God with all my heart, and all my soul, and all my strength. So I wonder, what does your best you look like? What's God looking for in your life? What will please him? What will cause him to look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant? Maybe that needs to be this week's thinking point. Lord, I want to be that person that pleases you above everything else. I want to be that person who you look at say, that's who I want them to be. So Lord, I guess going through this list, something will have struck every one of us here. And I pray, Lord, that you will help us to make the most of the things that we do well and to work on the things where we need to improve. Jesus' name. Amen. There is prayer at the front, and there